Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, a good Monday to you. I hope you've had a good weekend. We have a school at Ware's Valley Ranch that my wife and I started years ago, back in the early 90s. And every year it's a joy to watch the progress of the students and occasionally to have folks who graduate. This year at baccalaureate, I brought a message from the book of Luke regarding Mary and Martha, Luke 10. I want to share that with you today. I hope you'll find it encouraging. If you have your Bible, please open it to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we're going to be beginning in verse 38. You know, when an occasion like this happens, in order for it to be a really nice celebration, there's a lot of work and preparation that has to be done. People not only have to make decisions about the decorations, they have to actually procure and place the decorations in order for it to look nice. And food has to be cooked and it has to be served. In order to do that, you've got to acquire it. You've got to do all kinds of preparation. You've got to make sure things come out at the same time. There's just a lot of stuff that has to be done. This is one of those happy occasions. And we're delighted that so many folks were able to work together and get this done. Now imagine if you were having Jesus for a meal at your house, would you say you'd want to kind of spiff up the place a little bit? Would it be important to you that it look nice? Would you decorate and plan? Imagine if you went to do that and you're preparing the meal and you've got all this going and you look around and the person you were counting on to assist you is not there. Would that bother you? I think it might. Let's look at this text together. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. This is God's word. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. I'm kind of with Martha. I mean, I can really identify with Martha in feeling like when there's a big task to be done, many hands make light work. I mean, we know that. And so it just is reasonable that there should be a division of labor, that there ought to be a cooperative effort, teamwork. I don't want to take everything into my own hands. I want to build a team. I want people to work together. We can accomplish so much more if we will just work together, please. And if you're in the kitchen like Martha was, And Mary, the person who lives in your home, notice it says it was Martha's home. Mary and Lazarus just lived there, okay? But Martha ran the place. I don't know if you've ever been around anybody like that, but everybody knew whose house it was. Everybody knew who paid the bills, who kept the books. Everybody knew who planned the menu and did the shopping. Everybody knew. Martha was the one who ran the show. Everybody else was just expected to pitch in, just do their part, just help out. Not asking you to take the full burden of responsibility. I'm not assigning you Tuesday and Thursday. Just come in the kitchen and say, what can I do to help? Just help. That's all we're looking for here. And Martha, troubled by the fact that Mary is in the living room, sitting on the floor, looking up at Jesus. Jesus is so wonderful. Just love to hear him teach. It's like, you can do that later. I'd like to hear him too. We've got food to get ready. Come in the kitchen. Give me a hand. Martha asks a question. And she's not the only person to ask this question. The disciples ask Jesus the same question on another occasion when he's asleep while there's a storm at sea. And it's a question that some of you have probably asked internally, even if you didn't verbalize it. The question is, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care? Not going to ask for a show of hands, but my guess is that at some point in your life, you have been bothered deeply by something, and to add to your frustration, you were getting the impression that God didn't care. Okay? You're not just bothered by the problem, you're bothered by the fact that God has the resources to fix it, and he's not doing it. And that becomes almost more troubling to us than the problem itself, because it's like, you could do something here. You could fix this. You could help me. Do you just not care? Lord, don't you care? Let me tell you, if you've ever felt that way, you're not alone. The disciples said, Lord, don't you care that we're about to drown? Jesus got up, looked at the storm, and said, be quiet. The storm went like that. The disciples said, that's scary. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Well, yeah. It's because of who he is. He's God. God can solve your problem. But the fact of the matter is sometimes we need the problem. His plan is still to prosper. He's not forgotten us. He's sovereign. He's at work in the situation. God's working it for our good. We sing it. It feels warm. It's wonderful. The sovereignty of God. What a peace that brings. But when you're in pain, sometimes you start to feel like, Lord, don't you care? Martha not only called him Lord, questioned whether or not he cares, but then she got to the point, because Martha was that kind of person. That's why it was her house. That's why she was in charge. And so, having called him Lord, she now tells him what to do. Okay? Tell her to help me. Who's she talking to? The Lord, of course. Well, then what are you doing telling him what he's supposed to do? I've done that. My prayers, sometimes I have to just stop in the middle and start apologizing. Because I'm trying to explain things to God and get him to see it my way. And, you know, suddenly it occurs to me, God knows far more about this situation than I do. He doesn't need my explanation. He doesn't need my rationale. He doesn't need me. But he has chosen to bring me into relationship with him, and he wants me to talk honestly with him, and I need to just pray biblically. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That should be my longing, for his name to be hallowed. But I don't always pray that way. Sometimes I pray like Martha. Lord, watch over the house while I'm away. Heal my family members who are ill. Make sure that my retirement account doesn't fall apart on me. I give God the little list of reminders, kind of like my wife who says lovingly, graciously, don't have an accident as I'm headed out the door. It's like, okay, honey, if you say so. I mean, it's because she loves me that she's telling me this, and it's because I trust God that I'm giving him a reminders list. Well, no, it's really because I want to be able to turn that over to someone else, and it's like, okay, God, here are the things I need you to handle because I can't. That's what Martha did. I can relate. I think some of you can. Jesus' response is marvelous. Jesus could have said, Mary, if you're going to talk to me like that, I'm just going to take Martha, if you're going to talk to me like that, I'm going to take Lazarus and Mary, and we're going to go somewhere else for dinner. I hear there's a little cafe down by the Sea of Galilee. We're going to go there. You can just have these preparations for yourself. Okay? Nobody talks to me like that. I am the Lord. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus understood where she was coming from, and he spoke to her lovingly, like a father to a daughter. Martha. Martha. It's a calming thing. You have my attention. Do I have yours? Martha. You are upset about many things. Wow, that is a diagnosis. Okay? Not just you're trying to do too much, you are upset about many things. How many of you know that usually when we get upset, we're not just upset about what we're complaining about? Right? Usually, what we're complaining about is the thing that finally tipped the scales. But really, if we were to get honest, we're upset about this and this and this. And this isn't the first time Mary's done that. Okay? She's always forgetting that I'm in here working. I mean, this is not the first time. We had some other company last month, and she didn't help me with that either. She always has some reason she can't be in the kitchen to help. I don't know what it is. It's been that way ever since we were little girls. I always have to do the work. She always gets to eat. Martha. Martha. You are worried and upset about many things. Yes, Lord. You're right. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I haven't dealt with. I haven't turned over to you. I haven't let go of. And I carry it around with me day after day. That's why we have a counseling program here. Worried and upset about many things. And then Jesus says something that absolutely is revolutionary. He says, only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed. If I were to ask you, what do you really need? I need my internet access. My life falls apart if I don't have internet access. There was no life in the world before the invention of the internet. It's the one wonderful thing Al Gore did. But, I mean, what do you really need? Could you live without the internet? Students are saying, well, yes. They've kind of taken that away from us here. And you're still alive. Could you live without your cell phone? Most of you don't know what a payphone is. When my wife and I were getting to know each other long distance, with me in Massachusetts and her in Louisiana, I had to walk down the hall from my dorm room and stand in the hallway and feed the payphone so that I could call my wife. Well, she was then my love, my beautiful, my precious. I had to call her. Now she's all those things and my wife. But I had to call her and stand there on a payphone and talk. And believe it or not, I actually proposed to her over that payphone. Long distance. Ever the romantic. I mean to tell you. I just wasn't going to wait any longer. I wanted to go ahead and propose. And I said to her, I was calling because I wanted to ask you to marry me. And I thought she'd say yes. And she thought, he's about to ask me. We've always had great communication. The guys on the hall who knew I was about to propose are standing with their heads out the door like, they knew I just asked her. She didn't know I just asked her. So to calm them down, I went, and they all went, hey! And she said, what was that? It's been like that ever since. Let me just tell you, you don't have to have cell phones in order to live. You don't have to have phones. You don't have to have electricity. You don't have to have a room to yourself. You don't have to have eight pairs of clothes. You don't have to have a broad variety of menu choices. You know what really matters? It's where you're going to spend forever. That matters. That really matters. Everything else is secondary. Your relationship with God is the one essential thing. You can be a brilliant academician or somebody who just struggles academically. Your relationship with God is what's going to last forever. I've got a friend who's a PhD in mathematics. Brilliant guy. Made millions of dollars. Now has Alzheimer's. Hangs on to his wife, can't remember who everybody is. Where he is, who he is. Let me just tell you something. Brilliant intellect, be prepared to lose it if you live long enough. That's not guaranteed. Some of you are drinking coffee and refusing to use antiperspirant. Anything, I'm gonna, you know, whatever it takes. You will cling to your health food and get hit by a car. Okay? While you're jogging to keep your cardio going well. You know what matters? It's not your cardio health. It's not what other people say about you. What really matters is your relationship with the Lord. That's it. Mary, Jesus said, has chosen the better part. And it will not be taken from her. Now I want you to see two more things about that. First of all, Mary chose. It wasn't by default. It wasn't accidental. Jesus said, Mary has chosen what is better. You remember Aaron trying to defend himself after the golden calf fiasco? Moses shows up and Aaron says, hey, please don't blame me. You know what these people are like. I mean, they brought me all this gold. I just threw it in the fire and out came this calf. That's verse 24. You know what verse 4 is? Aaron did a casting and then fashioned it with a tool. Okay? He really worked on this thing. He was proud of it. It's like, I think it looks like a calf. Don't you think it looks like a calf? I think that's pretty good. I mean, that thing almost looks like it could say moo. You know? I mean, that's pretty good work. I mean, I don't consider myself one of the great artists in the world. I mean, there were some people in Egypt who could do better, but I think for out here in the wilderness with the tools I have to work with, I think that's pretty good. And then all of a sudden, when it turns out he made the wrong choice, he's saying, I didn't have anything to do with it. It just came out that way. I threw in the fire, came out a calf. You know. Now, why would I bring that up? Because that's what we do with our schedules and our budgets, our priorities. Well, I don't know what happened to all my money. There's always more month than there is money. I don't know how it happens. Well, do you think maybe you ought to cancel the satellite TV? Well, you got to have that. No, actually, the only thing that matters is your relationship with the Lord. Right? And so, you don't have to drive that car. You don't have to live in that neighborhood. You don't have to have those clothes. You don't have to have that jewelry. You don't have to belong to that club. You don't have to go for tanning treatments. You don't need to buy a lottery ticket. You don't have to do these things. Mary has chosen the better thing. Let me ask you a question. What have you chosen? What are you choosing today? Because you have a choice. You have a choice. What are you going to prioritize with your time, with your finances, with your energies, in your relationships? What are you choosing? Last thing. Jesus said Mary's chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. You know the wonderful thing about choosing the Lord? When you choose to invest your life in His hands, to say, Lord, I am yours, nothing can ever pluck you out of His hands. It will not be taken away from her, Jesus said. If you make Jesus Lord of your life, you'll never lose that. You'll never lose that. If you really surrender yourself to Him. Now, if you want to try it, that's not the same thing. But if you come to the end of yourself and you say, okay, I just need Jesus. Lord, as I've heard more than one person pray, Lord, I don't know what You're going to do with me. I don't know what You want. I don't know what You can do. But whatever You choose, I give myself to You. God will take you up on that. Don't try and strike a bargain with Him. Don't try and make a deal. You just give Him your all. And you will find that He's got a plan. And it's great.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. We've recently made a significant step of faith by adding several new stations to our outreach. Now, I need to hear from you. You can visit our website at pastorwood.org, or you can call us at 866-41-ABIDE. Either way, we really want to know that you're listening. So when you contact us, let us know the station where you hear the broadcast. It's simple, fast, and free. and I'll greatly appreciate it.